Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
You are listening to Missed Apex Podcast. We live F1. You are listening to Missed Apex Podcast, and it's an emergency meeting with Uncle Joe as Günther Steiner parts ways with Haas F1. So welcome to this emergency shed council meeting. Did he walk or was he pushed? What does this say about the Haas dream? And at its core, is this highlighting the biggest problem with the F1 franchise model? And just why are we so animated about the bottom team changing its coach? Joining us is a man with more experience than God in F1 journalism. It's Joe Saywood. Hello, Joe.
Hello. I didn't realise God had any experience in F1 journalism.
He's very into F1. Yeah. Uh-huh. He's all over the paddock. Renowned as a bit of a gossip, but generally sound.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Anyway, there were 27 questions in that first intro.
Well, I'll tell you what then. Let's field the questions from our supportive patrons who have got in there to ask you some questions, like Paddy. Paddy starts off with, I think, the best question. Knowing that you're on friendly terms with Günther Steiner, Paddy simply asks, is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine. I spoke to him yesterday before it all broke, and he's sort of, you know, he seems pretty calm about it. It seems like, you know, the question about jump and pushed is very simple. It seems like it was a mutual decision to go their own ways. There doesn't seem to be anyone or the other who was particularly the cause of it. I think they just went, well, if you don't want to do that, I don't want to do that. So, you know, this is what happens sometimes when people don't agree on the future path that something should be, and you sort of go, well, yeah, not going to work anymore, is it? The most extraordinary thing about it, and the reason it's such big news, is because ultimately, when you boil it all down, Haas is Günther Steiner. It's not Gene Haas. Gene Haas paid for it, therefore, legally speaking, probably morally speaking as well, whatever, it belongs to him. But it was Günther Steiner's idea, and Günther Steiner made it happen. And so the idea that there's a famous cartoon in Germany about Bismarck leaving the role of Chancellor, and it's about the pilot leaving a ship. And that is a little bit how it feels with Haas. The pilot has left the ship, and God only knows what's going to happen now, because he was the guy who drove it for effectively 10 years. Because it was set up from 2014 onwards. And without him, it's going to be a very different kind of ship. Now, what's really interesting is that the technical director, Simone Resta, has left as well. Mm. And that points to a problem that is not just between Günther and Gene. It's clearly more than that. And when you boil it all down, I think the answer has to be that Gene wouldn't invest or wouldn't allow others to invest to build up the team, which is that's what needs to happen. I mean, Haas is a very strange Formula One team in as much as it's a different business model to everybody else. It was created using the rules in its favor to to buy as much as possible. And, you know, it bought everything it could, except obviously you can't buy the chassis and you can't buy the aerodynamic surfaces. But pretty much everything else came from Ferrari. And the rules were changed a little bit, tweaked, I would say, to stop it happening again, because, you know, Gunter was very clever. The problem with that is that when you're entirely based on somebody else, a bit like Scuderia AlphaTauri has been in recent years, there comes a point where you have to become a grown-up, put on the big boy's trousers, and start doing things for your own. Otherwise, you don't have the same value.
So, I mean, Soto Sam had asked the was he pushed or did he walk? And you'll forgive me if I focus in a little bit on the drama side of it. I know there's real human beings involved at the centre. But as sort of random F1 fans watching the social medias, it was a random winter Wednesday. The timing of this is really odd. So presumably, you know, the development is baked in for the new season. So it must have been like an operational disagreement. Like, what could they have fallen out about on January 11th?
I don't think it's a particularly odd date. It probably didn't happen yesterday. It probably happened at the start of the week or even before then. It probably stayed quiet for a day or two, I would think. I think probably it's when people were coming back. If you look, there was a post yesterday from McLaren saying, look, we're back at work and here are our new people. So Rob Marshall and Sanchez, David Sanchez, have joined the team. So, you know, you have a sort of new period beginning. And I think probably this predates the new period. This is something that was decided, I just don't want to go on like this. And it starts to come out later. So I think that's why it looks that way. I'm not sure there's any great drama in it. I think it's just a sort of conversation. I mean, I know you want to have drama in it.
Yeah, okay. I think it's just
a conversation. I've had conversations with Gunter for a long time at races about, you know, are you serious? Are you going to get serious about, you know, making this into a proper team and giving it value? And, you know, why won't Gene sell part of it? And the answer to that is Gene doesn't want to sell it. And Gene's had endless offers, people who want to buy it or buy pieces of it. He just doesn't want to let go. And he doesn't apparently seem to want to let go to any of it. Now, if you look at Alpine or someone like that, McLaren even, they've sold off percentages to help them fund things they need to do. And that's the difference. So, you know, if Gene doesn't want to fund it and he won't sell any equity to get the funding to do it, then they're going to stay where they are. And I think that that's why Gunter and Simone have done what they've done, because they don't want to be associated with a team that doesn't move forward. Because the art of Formula One is all about moving forward. It's not just sitting there and being a member of the group, if you like. And, you know, there are people in the NFL in the States, people who own franchises, who just don't put any money in, sit around and cruise along, and they finish last year after year. And there is a sense that they're just passengers. And Formula One doesn't like having passengers, because they think that people who are going to be there should be fighting. And I think that that is the root of this problem. There is a difference in opinion between Gene, who has the passenger approach, by the look of it. He may believe that they can do it without investing money. That's the other issue you have to bear in mind. I mean, Gene's a very brilliant engineer, apparently, in the world. He does it. He's made an awful lot of money for a bloke who, who's just an engineer who's designed fancy machines. Can he come up with miracle cures for Formula One machines? Probably not. And that's, I think, probably where the centre of the dispute is, which is he's working on a business model that's probably out of date, whereby you could do something like a Braun and do something remarkable and win a world championship. But it's not like that anymore. Formula One is about tiny little bits of improvement every day across the board. And that's what everybody else is working to. Everyone else is investing in. That's why there are so many people. And this is something that fans don't necessarily understand. How the hell do you employ 1,000 people to produce 2 race cars? Just think about that. What do they all do? You know, and the answer is they all go chasing around after a thousandth of a second.
So no one's like sitting there going, right, we're going to find the double diffuser like Braun did.
Well, there's always somebody sitting there in a future development committee going, what could we do to, how do we bend our way around the rules? There are people looking at that sort of side of it all going, is there something miraculous that we can do that will make a difference? And the answer is usually not, but we'll see. I mean, you know, generally speaking, the rate of development of all the teams, it's kind of like an arms race, a nuclear arms race. Everybody has about the same thing. And to get ahead, you just have to really push hard. Excuse me.
That's all right. The winter has got to Uncle Joe.
I have a bit of a winter cold.
Oh, and if you look on the YouTube, you can see Joe's winter coat as well, his winter beard. He's looking gruff and ready to go and chop some wood in the garden of his French castle. It is technically a castle. But Joe, he is struggling there. So the franchise model is interesting, because this was my fear, was that teams could sit there and not have to be competitive, not have to worry about relegation. With Gene Haas, I mean, we're talking about his motivation. He's also got accountants on his shoulder as well, I suppose, saying, hey, look, you're making money as is, like, relax. And then he's got the sporting side pushing against that.
Well, it won't last for long, because if there is a passenger team, there will be a rule fairly soon that will make, you know, it will be if you don't achieve enough, you'll get slung out. That's what will ultimately happen. But I think what will happen is in the course of the next 5 years, Formula One will gradually edge out this kind of hybrid model whereby everybody, you know, Haas can get by buying stuff off other people, and Toro Rosso or whatever it's called this week will be phased out, because I don't think anybody wants the ability for somebody to own two franchises.
May I ask how?
I know they're not really franchises, but
yeah,
I think that's what's happening. That's why Red Bull are investing in AlphaTauri or whatever it's going to be called, to give it more value, so that at some point in the future they will sell it, because they will be forced to sell it.
Interesting. So Maria has got a question on those lines and says, he, Günther Steiner, got into F1 with a unique model. Does he still believe in it? And I guess that question could be applied to Günther Steiner or Gene Haas. So are they're betting everything on a model that is being actively phased out by F1?
Yeah, but they got in. Mm. They got in 8 years ago. The world has changed. The world has moved on. They have to move on. Gene doesn't want to move on. Günther does. And that's it. Really, at the end of the day, that's the only way of really analysing it and saying this is probably what happened. But, you know, the business model that they used to get in was very clever at the time, but it's not clever anymore. Yeah, otherwise, you know, Michael Andretti would have done it, wouldn't he?
Mm. So I know you're above such gossip, Joe, but it's been widely reported that he wasn't even allowed to come in and say goodbye. So, I mean, it clearly got heated at some point. I know the mature thing to do would be to paint it as a over a cup of tea, and then at the end of it, well, then we're agreed, we shall part ways.
Well, hang on, I wasn't allowed to come and say goodbye where?
This is a good point, because Steiner is based in the US, and I didn't realise that.
He's in North Carolina.
But wasn't that always going to be bad?
Who's going to fly across the Atlantic, walk into a place in Banbury, say goodbye, and then fly back to the US? It doesn't make any sense, does it?
Fair enough.
You know, he will... the fact that he didn't turn up at the meeting that announcing his departure is really not a surprise, because is Gene going to pay his airfare?
No.
Is Günther going to pay his airfare?
Well,
he's going to pay his airfare.
He's not short of a bob, is he? He's all right. I reckon he's
going to afford it. Yeah, but that, you know, at the end of the day, why make up stories about the fact he wasn't allowed? You know, it seems to be relatively amicable. It just seems to be that they have a difference of opinion. That's it. I don't see any sort of, you know, I don't see any chainsaws at dawn or anything like that.
So the clip that I'm going to use for TikTok will be titled Saywood Slams Made Up Stories from Press Over Günther Fallout.
Well, define press.
No, I'm not going to say the names out loud. Okay, so to something more substantial, Toby asks, does Uncle Joe know what went on behind the scenes? And this is a good question from Toby. Also, what were the expectations on 2023 performance, and how realistic were they?
Well, I think the car was quick on occasion. You can see that it qualified very well on occasion, but it never raced very well. So that would be because probably, there are two things probably involved in that equation. One is the fact that, as we saw with Ferrari as well, it may be to do with, and also if you look also at the Alfa Romeos, they all tended to fade in races. The engines may be part of that.
Really?
Certainly the Ferrari engine seems to be able to be turned up a lot higher than the others when it gets into qualifying. When it becomes, you know, a super car, and then suddenly it fades away in races. So there's an element of engine, I'm sure, and there's an element of tyre wear, where some cars are better than others on the tyres. But it's true that, you know, Ferrari, Alfa Romeo, as was now Sauber, and Haas all tended to fade in races. So I don't know the answer as to you know, you need the data to know which of those was the important bit. But fundamentally, it wasn't a bad car. It just didn't get the results. The other thing to bear in mind is that it didn't drop to 10th until the very last couple of races, when AlphaTauri suddenly went ballistic.
A miracle.
Causing much, much unhappiness in the rest of the paddock, because they went jumping from 10th to 7th or 6th, or it was 6th, wasn't it? 8th. They jumped up two places in the last few races by some fancy flaw, which some of the other teams believed they couldn't possibly have made given their resources. But, you know, the FIA says it's okay, so in theory, that's okay.
Oh, well then.
Well, that's the job of the FIA. We have to trust the FIA, or else sport's in really deep trouble if we don't trust the FIA. Now, there are some things going on at the FIA which make it perhaps less trustworthy, but that's another story, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, they've had some new hires lately. It's all interesting.
But it's not so much the new hires, it's the departures more than anything else. I think that's the key issue there. They've lost a lot of very good people.
So you're painting a picture of Haas being sort of unlucky. So I think the question people are sort of...
I'm not saying it's unlucky at all. Oh. I'm saying that they were outsmarted by whatever it was that AlphaTauri did. They got the points. Alfa Romeo scored some points at the start of the year and then just faded away to nothingness. And to be honest, that's not really surprising, in as much as it's a kind of a team in drift for the next 2 years. Until Audi come in. And in fact, there can't be much impact from the Audi side until they have control of the team. Now, I'm sure that in the next week or so, or next month or so, there'll be an announcement about further equity changing hands, and Audi increasing their share in the team. Maybe they won't announce it, but that seems to be the plan, that there will be a gradual shift. But they won't have control until at least the start of next year, if not the start of 26. We don't really know, because they don't announce these things. We only, you know, we have it based on our sources, who tell us things that are usually true, but not always.
My favourite source is Joe Saywood's newsletter that is available to be purchased from your website if you search for JSBM, Joe Saywood Magazine newsletter.
That's true. It's where you're most likely to find the stuff. And if you look at the website, you'll see all the people who read it. It's actually quite impressive. In fact, Gunter, he signed his book to me, saying, "To the guy who wanted me to buy his newsletter, it'll never happen." But it did.
Yeah.
In fact, he said to me yesterday, he said, "I can't afford your newsletter anymore. Now I'm out of work." And I laughed at him and I said, "Of course you can. You're very wealthy, and don't be silly." He didn't argue with that. So,
full disclosure, you are kind enough to supply me with a copy when you print it, but it is ahead of the curve when it comes to the news cycle, and I do use it to occasionally feel very smug about a piece of information. But yeah, you are very much talking to the industry, but also, you know, listening. I bet you get ripped off.
It's
quite
also
a lot.
About analysis. It's not just about, yes, it is about breaking news, but it's also about analyzing the news that's coming out, so people understand why it's happening. And that's just as important, to be honest, as being the news breaker, you know, getting there first of all.
Yeah.
It's, you know, why did that happen? Why has that happened? So we're doing that now, in effect. We're explaining why Gunter Steiner has left.
Yeah.
And, you know, that'll be in the newsletter. We also have, you know, this week there's lots of things happening. Williams have got a new Mercedes deal, and the FIA situation is still going on. So there's, you know, weekly, there's always a lot happening.
I think because you give me the copies and email them to me, I think that this counts as a paid promotion. But seriously, it is worth checking out if you're, you know, if you're a bit of an F1 news geek. And yeah,
breaking... if you want to go down the pub and impress everybody with that in-depth knowledge, this is the easy way to do it.
And the thing is, I sometimes have to remember, right, did Joe say that or is it out in the world? Because I don't want to do the scoops anymore. We used to get cheeky and like if we got a bit of information, we'd like try and scoop it. And like we saw the F1 subreddit going mad in the morning because they'd clearly got a leak from a journalist where about the Günther Steiner story. But I'd been speaking to a person at Haas, so I got told it and I didn't even realize there was like it was a secret. So I just started tweeting it and people were responding going, "What? Where's this from?" And I went, "Oh no." And I quickly, hastily deleted the tweet. Because at my level, Joe, if I say something like that, everyone just says, "You're lying, shut up." So there's no benefit for me. But for you, you're a trusted source.
To give you the full explanation of what happened is that we received the journalists on the Haas mailing list received a press release in the morning, yesterday morning, under embargo. We were embargoed until 5 p.m. GMT. To stop the story leaking before it came out. We all knew about it, but we couldn't use it. And so it gave us time to prepare articles. So if you look at 5 o'clock, you'll find all these in-depth articles all pop up at the same time.
Yes.
Because people have been sitting there for hours working out what it all means. There are several advantages of teams doing that. One is it stops the regular press from breaking the story early. Because you're sort of roped into the embargo. You don't get a choice as whether you want to have an embargo or not. You're just given it, and you have to respect it, which is fair enough. The fact that Reddit and people like that respond to it, somebody somewhere broke that embargo.
Boom.
Well, we don't know who, but that's why teams have to be very careful. And I expect they'll be looking at it, going, "Who the hell put that onto Reddit?" The minute you have a team meeting, for example, they made an announcement at about 4:30 yesterday afternoon that Günther was leaving, and that basically made it public because everyone at Haas tweeted their mate and said, "Hey, guess what's happened?"
Yeah, that's what happened to me as well.
And so there was half an hour in which the press,
couldn't
the regular F1 press, had to wait when it was actually out there, public information. But we did because that's what they expect us to do. And that is what the correct thing to do is. And if you don't play by the rules, it does impact on you later on.
I will respect embargoes in exchange for paddock passes, if anyone's listening. So we've got some great questions coming up, like what is Günther Steiner going to do next? Obviously, he's got a replacement coming in. I'm quite surprised, though, that nobody in our patron chat asked the very, very simple question about the Haas 10th place season.
Whose fault is it?
So who was to blame, Joe? And how much of an element was Günther Steiner and what Günther Steiner did? You know, was he? Because the chat that I've seen in some articles is basically that Gene Haas thinks that there's low-hanging fruit and that it's underperformed with its resources. And I'm guessing Günther Steiner would argue that he was doing the best with what he had available.
I'd agree with both of those arguments. I think that the team did a decent job. It's not a bad car. If you look at where it qualified on occasion, it's a quick car. It had two decent drivers in it. Didn't produce much in the way of results. So at the end of the day, when you judge somebody for finishing 10th in Formula One, you've got to remember that all top 10 teams are pretty ace organizations. It's just the order they finish in makes the difference. So, you know, if at the last races, you know, if Haas had finished 8th as opposed to 10th, Alfa Romeo had been last, Williams, whoever, you know, that little group at the back, on paper it looks bad if you finish last, but you're not that far off 9th. So I don't think that's really an issue. I think it's to do with... It's to do with the resources. That's, you know, if you look at what Williams has been doing, building up people, resources, machines, everything, that's what you have to do. And so if you're going to blame anybody...
Oh, yes, please.
Well, you can't really blame anybody. I mean, it's Gene Haas has spent an absolute fortune building that team. And this is where people shouldn't knock him because, you know, it's all very well to say, well, Gene Haas, so I read somewhere, Gene Haas is a disgrace to Formula One. He's not doing the job properly. Well, hang on a minute. He's probably spent 100, 200, 300, 400, half a billion on that team, at least half a billion. Now, there's a business model for it. You know, he's selling machine tools around the world. Fair enough, but he's still invested that money. And we should respect the fact he's invested that money. You know, he likes racing, but would you put in that much money to run a racing team?
Yes, I would.
If you had that much money?
No, I would play golf and buy VR
so,
systems.
You know, let's not knock him. He may not have a realistic view of how things should be done. That's another question. But he's the boss. He's the owner. It's up to him. It's his train set. If he wants to throw the train set in the trash, that's his problem. The fact is, the train set has value, even if bits of it are broken. You know, so he can sell it, but he doesn't want to sell it. He wants to hang on.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If I had that much money, I would buy a taco restaurant and fully staffed and kitted out as if it was like a public restaurant, but only I was allowed in there. So it would feel like I was the only customer every time and I would just eat all the tacos. Right, focus on Günther Steiner, the man. So Mike Irwin asks, where is Günther going to go next? He's been somewhat uniquely placed in this F1 circus as the star of Netflix. And all sporting stuff aside, he has become a phenomenon for the sport of Formula One over the last few years.
That's actually the biggest story of what happened yesterday, is the fact that Günther Steiner is Formula One's biggest star who doesn't drive.
Mm.
And without him, Formula One is going to suffer. A lot of people watch Drive to Survive because of Günther Steiner. And, you know, some of the other team principals are really wallpapery in comparison to Günther. And, you know, we need to have people like Günther. So, you know, they're colourful, they're crazy, but that's what made him popular. That's what makes him Günther Steiner. Now, Formula One can't really afford to lose him, so I expect to see him doing stuff with Formula One.
Mm.
But, you know, if he wants to have a bit of time off as well, why not? You know, he's been 10 years literally flying around the world from his various places of residence, and you know, he has a family and he has a life, and he needs to have a bit of time to do his own thing as well. So, you know, I expect to see him somewhere in the course of the year. I expect that Netflix won't be happy, and I'm sure that Stefano Domenicali won't be happy that Günther's not there anymore, and perhaps they'll find him an ambassadorial road. Maybe he'll be maybe he'll be opening supermarkets or something. I mean, I'm kidding, but you know, there may be some sort of ambassadorial thing. He may have other plans. He may think, well, you know, one day all this can be mine. You know, I'm gonna take over the world.
If he was wanting to do guest speaker stuff, of course, he'd command an absolutely outstanding rate, I'm sure. And tell him that if he wants to advertise his public speaking business, he's welcome to drop into the shed.
Very good. Yes. No. I shall mention it forthwith and immediately. Yes.
It will be your number one priority when you're next over at the Steiners.
Absolutely.
For
no
tea.
Question about it.
I can really see him popping up as a Sky Sports type pundit and being there in races, you know, maybe not this season, but in future seasons. He does seem to have that personality where, you know, he'd fit into that kind of F1 zoo, if you like.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine some of the TV companies being keen to get hold of him. But we'll see. Maybe he doesn't want to do the same amount of traveling as he's done in the past. You know, we'll have to see. But, you know, Gunther's not he's not an unambitious fellow. He believes that he can achieve more in Formula One. So, you know, I'm not sure he'd be satisfied with any of this stuff. I'm not sure he'd be satisfied with ambassadorships or whatever. You know, I can see him sort of ferreting away, trying to find a way to get in as a team boss again. What's really interesting about the Haas situation is that they've appointed a team principal without sort of shopping around, you know, because there are guys out there who are trained to do it. And they've just gone for an internal hire, which is interesting. I'm not saying it's a bad choice. I'm just saying it's interesting that they didn't shop around.
We've definitely got some questions on the new team principal there. But do you think Günther Steiner thinks of himself like, yeah, I could go and do a job at McLaren. I could go and rescue the Alpine ship.
Oh, I don't know if he necessarily thinks that way. I don't think he necessarily would like to work for anybody. I think that that's the thing about, you know,
Steiner
he's had... With Gene, I think he's been in the best possible situation because he's basically had his own team. Okay, he doesn't own it, but it has been like an owner. And so going to work for somebody else is probably not that appealing because then he'd be in the same boat as before. So, you know, maybe he just, you know, he's very popular and he's very powerful in as much as he is, you know, his brand value. I think it'd be interesting to watch what happens with MoneyGram, for example. Why is MoneyGram at Haas? Are they at Haas because of Haas?
Really good point.
Or are they at Haas because of Günther Steiner? I happen to think that it's to do with Günther Steiner more than it is to do with Haas.
So MoneyGram are really all over the content space and the digital content space in Formula One, you know, sponsoring segments for digital content creators, bringing on influencers and stuff like that. So they really are that kind of personality, commercial focused sponsor rather than just buying their executive box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, cool. Well, let's see. We've got some great questions there. I am sure that Günther Steiner will be okay. Yes, he's certainly got options there as well. And Joe refuses to assign blame for the 10th place with Haas. So let's move on a little bit. So we've got EJ here who asks, what does Joe think of the promotion of Komatsu to team principal? So there have been some comments in Danish media, according to EJ, that says that perhaps he is kind, he is nice, but does he have that kind of killer personality to be a team principal? Obviously, there's a cultural difference. He's unlikely to be a Cockney wide boy, but of what you know of him, outside of how he appeared on DTS, does he have the temperament to be a team principal?
I've seen him and Günther having real ding-dong battles together, you know, and you know, shouting at each other. So I don't think he's a pushover. You know, Japanese people tend to have this sort of reputation for being nice and lovely and quiet and all the rest of it, but that's not always true. And if you push them hard enough, they can get... I used to work for a Japanese magazine for years, and I used to know there's a point at which you don't push beyond, at which you get pushed back big time. And so they're just, you have to be careful how you handle them. Now, the other thing is that, you know, he's now 47 years old and he's been in the UK for 30 years.
Right.
He spent 18 years in Japan growing up and then he left. And so he's very anglicized, if you like.
Loughborough University, I think, as well.
Indeed. But even before then, he arrived in England and not even speaking English. So he went to a language school for the first period that he was around. And then he was working in the university and getting a PhD as well and working in Formula 3 and stuff like that. So he's a very driven guy. Now, is he the answer to taking Haas to the front of the grid? Probably not. But who knows? We'll see.
That's great, because I think the problem that you saw on Drive to Survive was that he appeared to be a little bit more passive to Günther Steiner, but Günther Steiner was obviously, and I don't mean this as an insult, he was very clearly playing up to the camera to some extent, or, you know, and was that kind of forthright personality. Not everyone is like that when a camera is there in the meeting room.
I'm not sure
with
that
you.
Günther is actually ever playing up to
Do
the
you
camera.
Not think?
That is Günther.
That's amazing.
He's always been like that. Even before the cameras came along, he was always like that. So I don't think the cameras made much of a difference, to be honest. I think, you know, that's what makes him so popular, is that he's authentic. People like authentic people. And, you know, why is he more popular than, I don't know, Christian Horner on Drive to Survive? No, it's a good question. Why is he more popular than Christian Horner? Is it because people think he's more authentic than Christian Horner?
Yeah, well, definitely Christian Horner and Toto Wolff really play to the cameras. I don't think that's controversial, is it?
No, I don't think Toto does.
Really?
to the extent to which you think so. No. That's also, Toto has this side to him as well, the same kind of, what you see is what you get. Christian's a little bit more play to the cameras, I would say. you know, sort of riding horses around his estate and this sort of stuff. Yeah. It's all a bit unrealistic, isn't it? I think Toto is as he seems to be, pretty much.
Mm. Well, yeah, I think, and I do you know, I don't actually mind that about Horner a lot, because if it is a TV program, trying to be interesting on a TV program isn't the biggest sin in the world.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, Günther did stuff that, you know, he climbed mountains on Drive to Survive, and he drove around in a Fiat 127 with Binotto, this kind of stuff. But that's probably stuff he would have done anyway. You know, not necessarily with a Fiat, but, you know, these are things. He's a mountain man, you know, they live in the mountain. Men are strange, you know. they have less oxygen up there.
Good. Oh, that's good. And hello to all our mountain-dwelling listeners. make sure you like and subscribe the videos, whether you're a mountain person or not. So, but getting back to Komatsu, so he's very clearly an experienced guy in F1, has been senior at Haas for a long time. But as you said earlier, they didn't look around for a team principal. And so for a lot of people, that might seem like an unimaginative hire.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fair enough.
Oh.
I mean, unimaginative, you know, do you really, if you're Gene Haas, what do you want? You want stability, because stability usually leads to growth, in theory. Do you want to bring an outsider in who's going to take a year to settle in? Do you want to do a Fred Vasseur routine or not? You know, I think in some teams you need to promote from within. It's just more sensible. Is that the case with Haas? I don't know. Haas is a difficult thing because it's not one base. It's three different places. So
how
much
that?
Time does Günther spend in the factory in North Carolina, in Banbury, or in Maranello? Because, you know, the design office is on the Ferrari campus.
Yeah, which will surprise no one who didn't already know that. But
there's also Dallara too. I mean, you know, there's also the production area where they do that. So, you know, it's a weird team in that respect.
So how much really changes then with Steiner gone if he's not day-to-day in Banbury?
Well, we'll see how much changes by the number of people who leave, won't we? If people aren't convinced by the new business model and there are other jobs available, that's the other key point. People don't leave unless there are other jobs available. But just give it about 6 months and see how many people leave Haas, and you'll know, you know, to the extent to which that was a popular move.
All right. And I do appreciate, Joe, that you're jumping in. It's not necessarily a work day for you. We were all trying to hibernate for the winter, but the news cycle bites when the news cycle bites. I've got a couple more listener questions here. So Milos asks, with Günther Steiner gone, how secure are Kevin Magnussen and Nico Hülkenberg's seats? Was there any tie-in, any personal tie-in?
Well, I think there's a level of personal feeling among a driver and a team principal. It depends to some extent what the new team principal thinks. He was big friends with Romain Grosjean, for example, and before that with Takuma Sato. So, you know, people have their favourites, and they see things that others don't necessarily see. And Gene Haas, obviously, he has a voice in it all as well, because he's a man who pays the bills. So we'll have to see how that works. But they're a good pair of They're a good pair of drivers. They're not necessarily the world's greatest, but they are very, very good drivers. And, you know, give them a car and they'll use it.
Well, one thing to say about that model is that at least those are two rated, you could argue, journeyman drivers, but they haven't gone down a Logan Sargeant or Lance Stroll route.
Well, I think that's very unkind to Logan Sargeant.
Oh, I forgot we argue about this. Okay. A pay driver route, or a route where they financially benefit from a driver being at the team.
No, I think that the team, basically, that's true about Haas. I don't think the team benefits enormously from either of the drivers, you know, but if you apply the fact that sponsors follow drivers around, you could end up calling Fernando Alonso a pay driver or Sergio Perez, couldn't you? So it's a bit silly to do that.
Saywood says Alonso is pay driver in shocking shed revelation.
No, I don't say that at all. If you're defining a pay driver by somebody whose sponsors follow him around, you could use that expression.
But it doesn't seem like
it wouldn't Haas be right, of go, course.
But it doesn't it seem like Haas right. go for the that model. That model of which I think we can
but
agree
he's already
exists.
Been down that route.
Yes,
he's been Mazepin. Down that route with Mazepin and with Schumacher. They got money for both of those drivers and it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, okay, well, let's not do it that way. Let's do it a sensible way. Get experienced, solid drivers who know where we stand. And that's what they got.
All right. The last questions that the patrons want to ask are all really about the future of Haas, if there even is one. And I think the lowest hanging fruit is the team going to be for sale at some point? With Andretti floating around, there is a cash-in option for Gene Haas.
There is always a cash-in option for Gene Haas, and obviously the value of the team's gone up, but it's never going to be the same value as the other teams because it doesn't have the same stuff. So if you want to get your foot in the door and convince Gene that it's worth selling, then do it. But thus far, nobody's done it.
Mm.
So, and I believe he's been offered a lot of money that would value the team, you know, at a very sensible level. The same kind of level as Alpine or these kind of valuations. And, you know, that is, that's not to be sneezed at. But if you're a billionaire, you look at the world in a different way, I guess.
When you're looking at buying a team, like what is it that you're actually buying? Because I've heard the Banbury site described as basic, not my words. But isn't it more important that you're buying the entry?
Yes, the entry is where the value really is. You're basically buying your way into prize money.
Yeah.
You're buying your way into prize money. And then to win more prize money, you've got to upgrade stuff. You've got to hire the good people and build the right machinery. So, and, you know, it's a big difference between finishing 10th and finishing first. There's tens of millions of dollars. Well, more than that, actually. In terms of when you boil it all down, it's hundreds of millions of dollars.
I think what I'm trying to sort of drive at and find out in my head, you know, is the Gene Haas model about a long-term future in F1, or is it an accountant with a ledger book? So like their relationship with Ferrari and Dallara, is that under any threat of changing?
No, it's not about accountants. It's not about that. It's about Gene's desire to be a Formula One team owner. And I think he honestly does believe, because he's an engineer who's achieved remarkable things, that they can achieve remarkable things. I don't think that's necessarily the right way of looking at it anymore, but who knows? You know, there's always a little bit of a magical tweak somewhere. But the way the sport is, magical tweaks are less common. You know, we haven't had a magical tweak in Formula One that wasn't cheating since 2009, when we had the Brawn team.
What about Ferrari's ability to get
yes,
engine
there
performance?
We are. Well, let's move swiftly on from that, shall we?
That was without cheating, wasn't it, allegedly, Joe?
Well, that's for you to allege, I suppose.
Oh, darn. And, day 742 of trying to get Joe sued, and it hasn't worked. All right. Going forward then, obviously, the boring answer is that we don't know and we'll have to see how it goes. But that organisation
I think the boring answer is that it probably won't go very well.
Right. That's what I was going
to
ask.
We're being nice to him at the moment.
Hmm. Being nice to who? To Gene Haas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give him the benefit of the doubt because, you know, as I said, what you have to respect a man who's put that much money into the sport.
Yeah.
I think he's right, but that's his money.
I've actually got
his choice.
Technical staffing questions here to get into my head how much the organization has changed. So, Resta was a very senior engineer. And obviously...
The technical director. He was the technical boss. Yeah.
Wow. And then obviously, Komatsu has to be replaced as well. And he was the trackside boss.
Well, he was... Yeah, basically. He was bigger than that. He was kind of Gunter's deputy, if you like. Mm. But they're going to appoint a CEO as well to look after the business side of it. So it said in the press release I read, which is fine. I mean, yeah, they can find some business guy. Mm. And if you look at some of the other teams, they're going down that route too. So
okay, but it just looks like, you know, they have. If you're looking at a team that finished 10th anyway, and then you look at their prospects going forward, having lost significant senior staff, and if they lose any more, that will obviously, we don't know if there's some fallout over the next few days and weeks. It certainly isn't the best way to start the season.
Oh, it's not, but teams lose staff all the time. That's not, you know, if you wanted to focus on Ferrari and say, well, this guy's gone, sure. Whatever. If you wanted to focus on any of the teams and dig into it, you'll find people who've left and you find people who have joined. And the question is whether that balance is positive or negative. And you won't know that for 2 or 3 years. So it's very difficult to say with any certitude that this is a good thing or this is a bad thing. You know, some people say that McLaren hiring all these people is not necessarily a good thing. Some people say it's fantastic, but we'll have to see. Time will tell.
I want to be a fly on the wall in the Drive to Survive Netflix office when they found that news out. Are they suddenly like rehashing cuts now so that you can see this sinister tone of friction building throughout the season?
It's a bit late to be rehashing. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what they do, actually. But they don't have an awful lot of editing time because it's due to come out in about a month, I think. So to get everything done in the time available, it may be that they'll just end the season and you know, the Gunter story will move on to next season. But right now there isn't a next season, I don't think. Mm. And this may impact on that. You know, if they've lost the biggest star of the show, does Netflix think that this will keep, the show will keep going? I mean, they've lost lots of people in the past who played roles in Drive to Survive. It's part of the nature of Formula One that people come and go. But Gunter's been there from the start. And, you know, Gunter, I think, was the third longest serving team principal until recently. And now, of course, Franz Tost has gone and Gunter's gone. So there's only Christian Horner now, who is the longest serving team principal. And after him, it's a very long drop to the next one. I'd have to think very hard if I can. Must be getting down towards Zach Brown by now, I should think.
Joe Sayward, I know you've got some maintenance to do on your French chateau, and you've got to keep that stream free of the wild antelope that roam on your lands. So I'll let you go, but make sure you follow
Antelopes,
Uncle Joe.
Honestly,
is it bison? It's bison. But follow
caribou.
Follow Joe at the links that I will put in the show notes below. He does the Green Notebook, which is a travelogue. Blog, which is
a blog.
It's not.
Blog.
It's like a travel log. I like it because it puts you into like, I'm at the airport eating crisps, and I feel nice because I like crisps. It's that kind of thing, isn't it?
No, it's that thrilling. Yeah, thanks
no,
for that.
The Green Notebook is one of the best things in Formula One journalism to read. Of course, the newsletter is early news and analysis before other people get it at a price. It has to be said. And consider subscribing to Joe's GP Plus magazine, where you get a full race review document and other beautiful things and pictures delivered in a PDF within about 6 hours of the race ending, Joe?
Yep, that's about it.
It's
hard
bad.
Work. That's why I have grey hair.
So. Yeah. And, well, you know, just for men. Everybody chip in and then Joe can afford some Just for Men to return to his golden black locks.
I don't even know what Just for Men is, but I'll take your word for it.
Hair dye. I think that spells to me that A, I'm not good at podcasting in the morning, and B, it is time to go. So wherever you are, work hard, be kind, and have fun. This was an emergency band meeting in the shed with Uncle Joe and me, Spanners. I'm the best one. I never said it was me at the beginning of the show. Oh, now no one will know who was asking Joe questions. I'll have to edit it in. Hi, I'm Spanners. I go on the internet and say what I reckon about stuff. And it's a model that is inexplicably doing fine. And goodbye.
Marvellous. Okay, I've got to go make lunch.
Excellent.
The staff is the staff.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.